You can sing and recite the church's hymn book, the Psalms, using modern English and new musical settings in the new Concordia Psalter. Check it out at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase the Concordia Psalter by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Make the Concordia Psalter part of your devotional life this year. 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, the new Concordia Psalter.
La même qui était chargée de protéger Charlie Hebdo et la rédaction de ce journal qui était menacée depuis des années par l'obscurité.
Our thoughts and prayers are with the families of those who've been lost in France and with the people of Paris and the people of France.
Some of the sounds and reaction to a deadly attack earlier today on a satirical newspaper in Paris, France. One of the witnesses claims that the gunman, who appeared to be well-prepared and well-armed, claimed to be from Al-Qaeda, but there's been no official claim of responsibility. What motivated these attacks in France? Not the first in France. The same paper was firebombed some time back, with responsibility being claimed. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Wednesday afternoon, January the 7th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Robert Spencer is going to join us from Jihad Watch to talk about the deadly attacks on this newspaper in Paris, France, a little bit later. Terry Mattingly will be our guest. We'll talk about the downplaying of the Christian faith in the latest blockbuster movie, Unbroken. We'll spend some time with Dr. Brad Wilcox talking about the impact of intact marriages on domestic abuse. And then in the second hour of the program, Dr. Albert Moeller will join us. He's reacted to a Newsweek magazine cover story on the Bible. And he says it's a screed. It is an outright attack not only on the Bible itself, it's a caricature of the Bible's history, but also an attack on evangelical Christianity. We'll see what he thinks in hour two of Issues Etc. You can join us for the next 2 hours with questions or comments. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at IssuesETC, or our beloved on-demand listeners, feel free to use the Issues Etc. comment line any time of day or night, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about a deadly attack on a satirical newspaper earlier today in Paris, France, Robert Spencer, director of Jihad Watch, author of several books on Islam, including his latest Arab Winter Comes to America, The Truth About the War We're In. Robert, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Great to be here, Todd. Thank you.
What appears to have motivated these shootings in Paris?
Well, they made it very clear. According to the BBC, they said, "We have avenged the Prophet Muhammad." And Charlie Hebdo, the magazine that they where they murdered the 12 people today, has long history of mocking and criticizing Muhammad and Islam, as well as Judaism and Christianity. They are not solely focused on Islam by any means, but of course, it's only Muslims who will kill you for that kind of thing.
What is what's the mindset? And this is something that we've seen happen over the course of about the last 20 years, but more so recently. What's the mindset among these Islamists when it comes to either a depiction of or a mockery of Muhammad?
Well, the idea is that that's blasphemy, and blasphemy is punishable by death in Islam. Muhammad had several of people who mocked him put to death directly, and this is something that is enshrined in Islamic law, that those who blaspheme should be put to death. And consequently, these people believed that they were acting in a way that would please God and would be in accord with Islamic teaching. And so the problem here is the universal denial on the part of Western authorities. John Kerry and Barack Obama and all the others who've made statements about this have ignored and denied the motivation instead of acknowledging it and confronting it and calling upon Muslims in the West to teach against the idea that blasphemy should be punished by death.
So let's talk a little bit about the fact that this could take place middle of the week, early in the workday, in a major European city. Not only a well-coordinated, but apparently well-planned and, and executed, for lack of a better term, attack on a newspaper. Eight reporters killed, one guest, and I believe several police officers killed in the course of this. How does this happen, Robert?
Well, clearly these people did not have any fear of French authorities. Clearly they knew that they could act with impunity in the middle of the street in Paris, shooting people out in the open, and there would be no significant response. And so this attack really shows up the tremendous weakness of France and probably of other Western societies in dealing with this threat, and the lack of preparedness that no doubt comes along with the denial and willful ignorance about the ideology behind the threat. And so they saw this and they took advantage.
One of the surviving witnesses, a cartoonist for the paper, was forced to admit some of the gunmen into the building. And she claims that one of the gunmen claimed to be acting on behalf of Al-Qaeda. But there has been no official claim of responsibility, public claim of responsibility yet. Does it really matter who claims responsibility for this, Robert?
Well, no, not really, because they all have essentially the same ideology. And so, you know, while it's a matter of interest, and certainly a matter of interest to law enforcement if they're trying to track these guys down, whether they're Al-Qaeda or the Islamic State or some other group, ultimately what the public needs to know is that there is a jihad against the West, particularly a jihad against free expression, and that there is specific targeting of people who offend Islam, and that it is important to defend the freedom of speech because it is our bulwark against tyranny and the foundation of a free society. So it's ultimately a law enforcement matter, I would say, that other than that, we need to understand that these groups all have the same goals, the same motives, the same beliefs anyway.
I want your thoughts on two of the reactions. One did come from Al-Qaeda, or at least someone claiming to be an Al-Qaeda on Twitter, who called the attack inspiring. Now, that might just be an individual's opinion, but it might also say something larger about what these attacks are intended to engender or result in. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of support for these attacks. I'm seeing it from jihadis and Islamic supremacists on Twitter. And the thing is that it plays right, the weakness of Western politicians plays right into the hands of these people, because I saw a Canadian official earlier today saying that the freedom of speech is paramount and sacrosanct, and we have to also remember not to offend religious sensibilities, which means the freedom of speech is not paramount or sacrosanct, but we have to kowtow to Sharia blasphemy restrictions, which means the end of free speech and free society.
President Barack Obama offered his condolences to the victims and to the families, but he went only so far as to say that this was an attack on freedom of expression. How do you evaluate that?
Well, see, Obama already showed that he had already given in. Obama and John Kerry both, because they say that this is an attack on freedom of expression. They say that this was something that is not going to stand, that the freedom of expression they're going to defend. And yet, neither of them will say who exactly these terrorists were. Neither of them will say these are Islamic jihadis acting in accord with Sharia blasphemy laws. And so they have already submitted. And so they're not going to give in to attacks on the freedom of speech. They already have.
What do you make of the response of this comes from Mohamed Moussaoui, who's president of the Union of French Mosques? He condemned the incident as a hateful act, and he says that Muslims and Christians need to intensify their actions to give more strength to this dialogue and to make a united front against extremism. That seems to be the strongest reaction so far.
Yeah, but that's very weak and misleading, because, see, United Action Against Extremism, the line of people like that and groups like that is that there's not a problem in Islam. There's a problem with extremists in all religions, like Ibrahim Hooper of the Hamas-linked terror organization, the Council on American Islamic Relations, was in the Washington Times today saying, well, yes, this happened, but look at the Westboro Baptist Church. Well, okay, let's look at the Westboro Baptist Church. How many people did they kill? They were obnoxious people, but as far as I know, they did not commit any murders. And to act as if there's some equivalence there is only to deflect attention away from the reality that Islam is the only religion that has a doctrine of warfare against unbelievers and doctrines of death for blasphemy and so on that these gunmen today in Paris were acting upon.
So someone says they were attacking democracy. They were attacking freedom of speech. What would your response be?
Yeah, I'd say that that's what they were attacking and that we're giving in. I saw that the New York Daily News carried a photo of Charlie Hebdo, the magazine, and they had pixelated out the cartoon of Muhammad. So they're already submitting. They're already agreeing that they will give up the freedom of speech so as to avoid offending Muslims and being targeted by violent people. The Telegraph in the UK published a headline about the Charlie Hebdo massacre saying France faces a rise in Islamophobia. And so the focus is off the attacks and onto the Muslims as victims, which is just going to fuel the idea that more accommodations have to be made and more restrictions of freedom of speech have to be taken up. And so, yeah, it was an attack on the freedom of speech, and they're winning.
And in a lot of ways, France has led the way in accommodating Sharia, in accommodating those who want to incorporate Sharia law and its various ideas into the legal system of that country. Why is that ill-conceived?
Well, the problem is that Sharia is fundamentally opposed to Western ideas and principles of human rights and freedoms. Sharia would institutionalize discrimination against women, discrimination against non-Muslims, restrictions on the freedom of speech, the absolute denial of the freedom of conscience. And so if you bring Sharia into your country, at a certain point there's going to be a conflict with the laws of the land. And then one of them is going to have to give. And which one is it going to be? The violent, aggressive, the idea of society that is forwarded by violent and aggressive people, or the one that is put forward by people who are accommodating and weak and spineless? I think we see what's coming.
Why do you think, of all the religious motivations that are out there for various acts of terrorism, whatever they may be, why is it that consistently, at least in the Western press, Islam is given a pass by the press and by politicians?
I think that they're afraid. They really do, even though they talk a line about how Islam is a religion of peace and so on, they really are afraid of jihadis. They're afraid of them on the basis of the possibility of violent attacks against themselves. And they're also afraid of being excoriated as racists and bigots and Islamophobes by groups like the terror organization CARE if they speak honestly about the nature and magnitude of the jihad threat. And so they submit.
Is that, in the end, going to get them what they hope for, which is some kind of detente with terrorists or extremists?
Absolutely not. It's going to get them more demands from Islamic supremacists and jihadists. It's going to get them just more strife in the future.
Talk about the inspiration factor here. I use that term, their term, really, that the goal appears now to be to have these public attacks either in an Islamic country or in a democratic country in order not only to make a point, terrorize, but also to inspire further and other attacks elsewhere.
Oh, yeah, of course. They want to inspire others just like this. And they've shown that they can get away with this, that they can make a brazen attack in the middle of the day, in the middle of Paris, get away, no problem. And so really every critic of Islam, every foe of jihad terror should be put on notice today. They're coming.
Someone might ask you, Robert, could such a thing occur here in the United States, this
Absolutely.
Kind of coordinated attack?
No doubt about it whatsoever. There's absolutely no reason why not. Our society is just as open and just as much in the grip of willful ignorance about this threat as France is.
I would like your thoughts on the fact that the trial this week is beginning for a brother charged with planting bombs at the Boston Marathon, another terrorist attack of recent memory here. What are your thoughts on that attack and on the current commencement of the trial?
Well, I think it's pretty clear that Shokhar Tsarnaev is guilty, and consequently, it's a shame that taxpayer dollars have to be wasted on this when there's surveillance video and essentially a confession that he wrote on the side of the boat he was hiding in just before he was captured. But I understand that due process has to be carried out. I think it's absurd in the sense that there is the ongoing conspiracy theory denials that he had anything to do with it, and it's just sort of ridiculous. And the trial will just fuel all that, of course.
And those who would say that this was just an isolated incident of terrorism, domestic terrorism here, with only a coincidence with Islam, what would your response be?
Well, the facts show otherwise. Before he was silenced, before he was read his Miranda rights and all that, he said that they were acting to defend Islam. And it's very clear from other statements that they made and other actions of his brother in particular, that that's what it was all about. And so the thing is that these people who say these things are isolated incidents that don't really have anything to do with Islam, and these people just happen to be Muslims, they have to ignore a mountain of evidence in order to make that kind of a case.
Finally, your latest book is titled Arab Winter Comes to America, The Truth About the War We're In. What do Americans in particular need to know about Islam?
Well, that it is a religion that has a doctrine of warfare and subjugation of unbelievers, warfare against unbelievers and their subjugation, that Muslims are acting upon that, and that these attacks like this are not just random acts of mayhem, but are designed to destroy our freedom of expression and ultimately our free society.
Folks, you'll find a link to this book and Jihad Watch at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Robert Spencer is director of Jihad Watch. Robert, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time talking with Terry Mattingly of the On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and founder and editor of GetReligion.org. He has recently viewed the film Unbroken, based upon the best-selling book. And he believes that he's found, well, not a complete telling of the story. Act 1, Act 2, but not Act 3. Why so? We'll find out right after this.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. ADCRUCEM.com.
Oh, morning star, oh, morning star,
listen to the best of the Church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7. LutheranPublicRadio.org.